We are talking about flourishing. That's our name of our new series. Everyone say flourish. We get our text from Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14, where it says, "The righteous shall flourish." Well, that's who we are. We discovered that this last week, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that is the foundation of you flourishing. You need to know who you are. And you need to know that it is the will of your good, good Father that you flourish. It is the plan of God for every one of us in this place and those watching online to flourish. And of course, the word flourish means to increase. It means to thrive. It means to prosper. It means to make progress. And so is anyone in the house interested in flourishing? So the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. We looked at the palm tree last week. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, and we looked at that as well. Now notice, we'll take this a little bit further this morning. It says, those who are planted, not just attending, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh, and they shall be flourishing. I like what Adam Clark said about this verse. He said, as these trees flourish in their respective soils and climates, so shall the righteous. He said, one of the definitions of soils, as I believe it applies, is a geographical area, whether our soil is a local church or a designated geographical region, God has a specific place for each of us. One in which he intends that we flourish to the fullest. So it behooves us then to find out where we belong. You see, the place where God planted you is where you will experience your harvest. The psalmist again says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord. Well, the term house of the Lord, if you will, is symbolic of the local church. That means that everyone in the body of Christ needs to find out where they belong. Amen. Now, of course, there's a lot of great churches in America. There's some good churches here in the Bay Area. So I'm not up here to say we're the only church. No, no, no. You need to be led by the Spirit of God where you belong. And when you find out where you belong, make sure you get planted in the house of the Lord. Get planted and stay planted. I heard this many years ago from Keith Moore, and it resonates strongly within my spirit. He said, concerning ministers, and incidentally, all of us are ministers in our own right. He said, you need to make sure you go where you are sent, and then you stay where you are stationed. Another way we could say is this: go where God leads you to go and get planted there and stay there. And don't look for the perfect church. Don't look for the perfect pastor, because there are none. And a lot of people just roam around from church to church waiting for the perfect programs, and we just don't see it like this and we don't agree with that. Well, you know what? You're not always going to agree on every little thing. Amen. And so if you're looking for the perfect church, it's not here. This is a good church. This is a great church. We serve a great, great God. Amen. And if you're looking, you know, for a perfect church, the moment you, and you find it, the moment you show up, it won't be perfect anymore. So the important thing is, let's find out where God wants us to be planted. And it'll be obedient to the call. You see, he said in Isaiah 1:19, let's quote it together. If God's looking for willing hearts. If you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. The book of Job 36:11 says it like this. He says, if they obey and serve me. So it's not just a question of attending. It's also a question of, if you're planted, you need to be serving. Amen.
Come on.
Okay, let's go on. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. That sounds like flourishing. That sounds like thriving. That sounds like making progress. They shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Now, the devil works hard to get people to move out of their place. He works hard at it. He'll throw you all sorts of suggestions. Well, I think I'll just go over here, or I'll go over there. And the reason why the enemy works hard at it is because he does not want you to flourish. He's fearful that you get planted. He is fearful that you will flourish, that you will prosper, and that you will thrive. But say it with me, I'm not yielding to the devil's lies. Now notice verse 14 in the Amplified Version. Let's read it together. Growing in grace, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap, of spiritual vitality, and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. One writer said it like this. He said, growing in grace, they will thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. You don't have to wait till you get old to start prospering. Why don't you start prospering right now? They will be flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust and love and in contentment. Now, how many of you know that the word grace and favor are synonymous? Whenever you see the word grace in the Word of God, you can automatically think, okay, that also is dealing with the favor of God. So when you're flourishing, there should be growth taking place. A growth in what? A growth in the favor of God. A growth in the goodness of God. So I want you to say this with me today.
I have favor.
With God and with man. The blessing is upon me, and the favor of God is surrounding me. The goodness and mercy of God, they are following me all the days of my life. The blessing of God empowers me to prosper, and the favor of God goes before me and opens doors and opens opportunities that no man can shut. I believe it. I receive it. This is my joy day. This is my believing day. This is my receiving day. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Now the Bible says, now faith is. It is the substance of things hoped for. Now, when you take the word faith out of Hebrews 11:1, faith and the Word of God are synonymous.
Amen.
You cannot separate the Word of God from faith any more than you can separate the water from the wet.
Amen.
They're one and the same.
Amen.
So when we declare, now the Word of God is the substance, we're declaring that the Word of God is our firm foundation. Well, do we have the Word of God on flourishing?
Yes.
Do we have the Word of God, praise God, on prospering?
Yes.
He said, you will experience favor just like a shield.
Hallelujah.
And so we stand on the favor scriptures. It's our foundation, and it is the substance then of things hoped for. Now, the word hope there literally means those things that we confidently expect. So when we are declaring we have favor with God and man, we are on a firm foundation. And then with our hope, we're expecting it to happen. We're expecting it to show up in every area of our life. I'm expecting it to show up in the restaurants. I'm expecting it to show up in the department stores. I'm expecting it to show up in the grocery stores. I'm expecting the favor of God to overwhelm and overtake you and me.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I love what Jerry Savelle preached as a way of life. He preached on the favor of God. And he said, here's some of the things that the favor of God will do for you. God's favor will produce supernatural increase and promotion in your life. God's favor will restore everything the enemy has stolen from you. Oh, glory to God. God's favor will give you honor in the midst of the enemy. Right in the midst of your adversaries, the favor of God is right there. Here's a good one. You need to shout on this one. God's favor is increasing your assets and your real estate. God's favor is causing this place to be paid in full. God's favor is causing you to prosper in everything that you do and everywhere you go. Woo, glory to God. Anybody else interested in growing in grace? Anybody else interested in flourishing in the favor of God? He goes on to say, God's favor is producing great victories in the midst of great impossibilities. Nothing is impossible to those that will stand on the firm foundation of the Word of God and declare to the mountains, be thou removed. How about this one? God's favor is giving you preferential treatment. Favor is the believer's advantage. Amen. God's favor is granting us petitions even by ungodly civil authorities. Just a couple more. God's favor is causing policies, rules, regulations, and laws to be changed to my advantage. You got to shout real strong on this one. God's favor is winning battles that I won't have to fight because God will fight them for me. Glory to God. And so that's just a little icing on the cake. Let's get back to some really good meat now. You have a God-ordained place where you fit and where you flourish. How have you ever noticed how important a location is? For example, in real estate, a location can actually determine your value. That's why this property is so valuable. If this property was hidden in some industrial area far out and not on the mainstream, this property wouldn't be worth half of what it's worth. How about this? In agriculture. We just had the privilege of driving through several farmland in Minnesota. It's just absolutely beautiful. I just hope that they can get freeways sooner or later. But in agriculture, the location affects your growth. And then you bring it over into faith. Your location determines your spiritual health and your fruitfulness. You see, we're talking about being planted in God's house. Why does the local church matter? Because it provides nourishment through the Word of God. It provides a beautiful move of the Holy Spirit that we experience during praise and worship. I looked at you. Some of you were wanting to get out in the aisle and run. It gives protection through godly leadership and covering. Amen. The local church offers connection through relationships and worship. Yes. It creates opportunities for service and for purpose. The local church is the hope of the world. Yes. And you cannot flourish if you're just attending. That's right. You need to be planted. You see, attenders consume, but those that are planted contribute. Now, I'm not pointing the fingers at anybody. Just relax. Attenders watch, But those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they will grow. I mean, you think about a tree. If a tree is planted 1 week and they move it the next week and they say, well, I don't want it here and I want to move it over there. And then the next week they move it over there. That tree is not going to develop any roots. It's not going to grow. It's going to be weakened by all the movement that is taking place. But I just want to say to you this morning is this. God has a thriving location and condition for you. I'm going to say that again. God has a thriving and flourishing. Praise God. He has a location and condition for you. Your condition that you are in spiritually has a lot to do with your location. Your spiritual condition is dependent on where your location is. Where are you being fed? Where are you hearing words of life? How about this one? Your soulish condition is based on your location. And a church that preaches the Word of God uncompromisingly, the Word of life, deliverance from sin, and how about this? Health and healing for your physical body. You need to be in a church where the word of faith is preached.
Yes, come on.
You need to be in a church where healing is preached.
Yes.
You need to be in a church where when you're sick, praise God, you can come to church and be healed.
Yes.
Your physical condition oftentimes is directly connected to your location. Oh, this is good preaching. You just don't realize it yet. How about this? The condition of your marriage, the condition of your relationships are connected to your location, to where you are planted. There is a location and a condition where you excel, where you prosper, where you will flourish like none other. Don't take Heart of the Bay Christian Center for granted. I'm not talking about me, but don't take what God has done for decades upon decades for granted. Get in with both feet. Pray strong. Pray hard. And believe God together with us. Amen. In Ephesians, the second chapter and the 10th verse, I want to look at the end of the verse. It says this, He has preordained that we would take paths that He has prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life, which He has prearranged and made ready for us to live. Your provision, this is real strong, but your provision is connected to you being in the right place.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again. Your provision is connected to you being in the right place. Let me tell you a little bit of story. How many of you remember a guy by the name of Abraham? And there was a time that God tested Abraham. And the test was this. I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to bring him up to Mount Moriah. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice before me. You know, Abraham didn't even blink. The Bible says that Abraham saddled his donkey, got up early in the morning, and headed out to Mount Moriah. He had Isaac there with him. Isaac knew something was going on, but he didn't know exactly what. And Isaac asked his father, he said, you know, I see the wood. I see the fire that's going to be, but where's the offering? Here's what the man of faith Abraham said. He said, God will provide for us an offering.
Hallelujah.
He is our provider. He gives provision. The word pro means before. Vision means, glory to God, he sees. So God saw before what Abraham needed. And he sent a ram up the hill early in the morning. And that ram made his way up to Mount Moriah. And when Abraham put Isaac on the altar, he lifted up his hands and he was ready to offer his son as a sacrifice. And the angel spoke up and said, "Now wait just a minute. Aren't you? Don't you know that Abraham was glad about that?" Now notice with me in Genesis 22:13, that gives you the backdrop of the story. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now verse 14 is what I want you to get. This is the theme of this message. Notice with me verse 14. Read it with me. And Abraham called the name of that place. Everyone stop right now. What place? That place. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Yireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Now I like how the New King James Version says it, so I'm going to read it from that. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." Listen very carefully. It was not just that God was Jehovah Jireh. It was more, the place was called Jehovah Jireh. The place was called Jehovah Jireh. He was Jehovah Jireh. He was His provider. Now listen, when Abraham was in the right place.
That's good. Amen.
If Abraham had not been in the right place, Jehovah Jireh would not have showed up.
Oh, that's good.
And if you're not in the right place, you can confess the word until you're blue in the face. But mark it down, Jehovah Jireh will not provide. He does not provide for half-hearted Christians who are not planted in the house of the Lord. Somebody says, "Man, that's a good message for 43rd. Hey, this is the only time in the Bible that Jehovah Jireh was used. Now here's the good news. When you're in the right place that God's called you to be, you can expect Him to be Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Hallelujah. How many of you are interested in being in the right place? How many of you can testify today that you are in the right place? Amen. I believe that every one of you are in the right place, and I believe that you're growing in grace and you're growing in revelation to what it means to be planted in the house of the Lord. I believe that with all of my heart. Part of being planted in the house of the Lord is to bring your supply. Not just letting a few people do all the serving. But everyone bringing their supply. Amen. Like Mario used to do, "Good preaching, Mario. Amen." Well, that is really good preaching. Say it with me. There was supernatural provision. But because Abraham was in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who always causes us to triumph. Thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So in these last days, God is calling His troops to come together. God is calling communities of believers and churches together to flow in the river of life. For I've said in my word that out of your belly is going to flow rivers of what?
Living water.
Of living water. And when the rivers come together, and when the people of God come together, and they bring their supply, and they are faithful to where God has planted them, then shall the explosion of almightiness take place. For I've waited, says the Lord, a long time for my people to be vessels of honor and vessels of glory in this day and in this hour. You being planted in the right place, you being planted in the right house, says to me that you are ready for a greater manifestation and a greater degree of my presence. Glory to God. Now notice in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, it says here, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land," now notice, "that I will show thee." Had he showed him up front? No. He said, the first thing you got to do is get out. The first thing you got to do is move. And as you move, and as you take this step of faith, I'm going to show you some things. Anybody ever experienced that?
Yeah.
See, the Bible says this, that the steps of a good man, they're ordered of the Lord. Now, God doesn't show us all the steps at the same time. But what he requires us to do is take a step of faith. And when we take a step of faith, he'll give us the next step. I'm so glad that he does not show us everything at all at once. If he showed you your future all at once, you wouldn't be able to handle it. You wouldn't be able to believe it. But if you will just continue to walk every day, if you continue to talk with him every day, you continue to walk by faith and not by sight, his steps will take you right into your wealthy place. His steps will take you into your flourishing place. His steps will take you into your thriving place. Amen?
Amen.
Now, God told Abram, he said, I want you to get out of thy country. You see, sometimes God requires us to get out of our comfort zone. Amen? Get out of our comfort zone. He said, get out of thy country and thy kindred. Sometimes he expects us to get away or get out from our family. Now, I'm not talking about your marriage, so don't get any funny idea. He said, to get out of thy country and thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Did God have a land for Abraham?
Amen.
Does God have a land for you?
Yes.
But before he can show us the land, sometimes we got to get out.
Amen.
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 Has the Lord ever dealt with you about an area that you need to get out of? You know, maybe it's an area of sin, or maybe it's an area of a relationship that God has not ordained for you. And the Lord says, get out of that relationship, because I've got good things out ahead for you. Well, what are they, Lord? I'll show you. I'll show you. As you're led by me and take the steps of faith, I'm going to show you, I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to guide you into all the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Now notice this with me. In verse 2 of Hebrews, Genesis chapter 12. And I will make of thee a great nation. What kind of nation?
Great.
Just mark this down. Our great God does great things for people who obey.
Amen.
He said, I will make of thee a great nation. He didn't say, I'm going to make of thee a weak nation. He said, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I believe, as God led Brenda and I to come to California in 1982, we didn't know what was going to happen. Just in our spirit, we knew. Go to California. And do what, Lord? I didn't say. You just go. And so we got in our little car back in the month of May of 1982, and we drove all the way from Minnesota to California unto a land that I will show thee. And then when we got to California, we had this question: what's next? And what the Lord spoke to us is this: start a Bible study in San Francisco. Start a Bible study in Fremont. Just do whatever your hand finds to do. And I'll open up doors for you that no man can shut. Glory to God. So then there came a day we were driving down the Nimitz Freeway, 17, which is now known as 880. And we had been at Shiloh Christian Center that afternoon. And of course, you know my testimony. I was ministering to drug addicts. And so we were down there ministering to drug addicts and just had a real good time. And then as we're driving back to Fremont, where we were staying at the time, see, we didn't have a house at that time. We were staying with some people. Thank God there was a ram in the thicket. Thank God there was a house open to us. And so as we're driving back to Fremont, I said to Brenda, well, let's stop by this church that I had ministered to in the month of February of 1982. And so we dropped by the church that night. Pastor Nancy was there. And man, they seemed real happy to see us. And we were real happy to see anyone. We were thrilled to see them. And they said, would you like to get together? And I'm thinking, are they paying? How many of you have ever had that? Yes, I'd like to go to dinner, but are you paying? So we went down to Stuart Anderson's, not affectionately known as the Blank Angus. And they told us the story. And things began to unfold. You see, leave Minnesota, go to California. And when you get to California, I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to open up some doors for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over that right now. We thank you, Father, for strengthening, for your healing power flowing into this person in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Looks like he's fine. Let's raise our hand and thank the Lord. Come on, raise your hands and thank the Lord. Glory to God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it well? Is it well? It is well. Amen. Everyone say, it is well. So we're at Stuart Anderson's. And we're not paying. And brothers and sisters, I'm ordering. We took a whole family out to dinner on Thursday night there in Minnesota. And I said, I'm paying. And then they started ordering. And I'm thinking, a ribeye steak is $30. Oh, but thank God he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. So we're sitting there and they begin to tell us the story. The pastor that had helped found the church with others, praise the Lord, the first pastor, had just resigned. Just resigned. And they were looking for another pastor. Not only did I get a free meal, but I got a new job. He called us when we came. We were kind of that ram on 35W.
Amen.
They had had a Bible study and a prayer meeting with some people. And the Holy Spirit came upon the gentleman that became my assistant pastor for 10 years. And he said, the man that you need to be your pastor is already in the area.
Amen. Yeah.
He had no idea we're in the area. You see how God's moving?
Yes.
See how God is connecting?
Yes.
And God will do the same thing for you.
Yes.
If you will be willing to step out.
Amen.
And to leave your comfort zone.
Yes.
He said the man that you need to be your pastor is already in the area. They had no idea that we were in the area. But when we came by the church that Sunday night, they said, ah, bing, that's him and that's her. Glory to God. Pastor Nancy was there. Of course, Pastor. Pastor Nancy's always there. Amen. Before Mark and Brenda were, Nancy, I am. Amen. She was there. And so, praise God, July 4th, 1982, we became the pastors of this church. And we are so delighted to be here because of the grace of God and the leading of God. Now listen very carefully. It was an adventure of faith. But the adventures of faith have never stopped. And friends, when you step out, when you purpose in your heart, I'm going to get planted.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm going to start serving.
Yeah, that's right.
Something wonderful happens in the grace of God and in the favor of God
that's
in
right.
your life
yes,
and on your life.
Amen.
And He will open up to you great doors of anointing, great doors of unction. You will be able to live a life of faith. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 again. Are you still here?
Yes.
He said in verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Say this with me, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Attached to the blessing is the blessing place. Attached to the blessing is the blessing place. We could have stayed in Minneapolis and confessed the word of God till we were blue in the face and missed out. We had to go, not knowing what awaited us. And that's what Abraham did. In Hebrews 11, in verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. All of us have a place. All of us are called. So the question I have for you today is this. What place is God commanding you to go? Not necessarily geographically, but what place is He calling you to go in your attitudes? What place is God calling you to go in your relationships? What place is God calling you to go spiritually? Where is He calling you to go financially? In your commitments, in your obedience to Him. I know this for sure, that God gives grace for your place, which will enable you to run your race and thrive and increase and flourish like none other. This is our flourishing place. This is our wealthy place. This is our harvest place. I know some of you believe it. I know some of you don't care. But we love you anyway. Let's everyone stand to your feet. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.